Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York City. And I'm broadcasting tonight from my bright red desk after a beautiful weekend, spent in a very weird way, actually. And this is the show for the week of April 26, 2015. How did it get to be the end of April? I don't know. It is, though, and it's going to go even faster next week. So this weekend, I had an excellent time. I signed up a while back for this conference on the art of dying, and I'd attended it. The Open Center and the Tibet House sponsored it a number of years ago, before the World Trade Center was blown up. So, but they've apparently done them a few times. This was conference number 5. And it was very interesting because we had all these different techie kind of presentations and then more woo-woo stuff. It was very fascinating to hang out with a bunch of highly evolved Scorpios. That's why we go to these kind of conferences, because the high Scorpios hang out there. And it was really interesting. Learned a lot, which I know will be filtering into my column over the next few weeks. But it's been a profound experience. I still have one more day to go tomorrow. And then I'm done. But it's just been positively, amazingly interesting. So I'm still processing. Don't really have anything to say. Well, probably will at some point, because that's how my brain works. At any rate, what we do here on the Weekly Weather is we talk about what's happening in the week ahead, how to work with that energy and what to do with it. And we're building to a full moon at the end of the week on the 3rd. Now, interestingly, the full moon, when the sun was in Taurus and the moon was in Scorpio, is considered the enlightenment moon. It's the moon where the Buddha, while he was sitting under the Bodhi tree, got enlightened. So we can expect enlightenment this week, whatever that means, because we're all going to be experiencing the Buddha's enlightenment. Of course, it is a moon in Scorpio, and the moon is at 13 degrees of Scorpio. So if you have something at that point, 13 Taurus Scorpio, it's going to form an in-conjunct with the eclipse that we just finished up, asking us to pick process. We also have Mercury going out of bounds this week. Venus is currently out of bounds, and she rules Mercury and Mars and the Sun, as well as the Libra planet. The North Node right now is in Libra, and the Moon will be later this week. So Venus is out of bounds, and she's out of bounds. She went out a couple weeks ago, and she's out of bounds until June 2nd. And Mercury goes out of bounds on May 1st, and he's out of bounds until May 19th. And then Mars is going to go out of bounds on June 7th to July 17th. Now, we like out-of-bounds planets because what they do is they have this kind of a supercharged energy to them, for good or for bad, though. So you want to make sure you use the good energy version of the out-of-bounds planets as opposed to the bad. And when people ask me to explain it, I say, think home run. You know, Derek Jeter, Yankee Stadium, the ball goes over the fence, everybody cheers, they pay him millions of dollars, it's fabulous. But at the same time, the ball can go backwards into the stands, hit somebody on the head 100 miles an hour, going out of bounds the wrong way. And, you know, you just know that when you go out of bounds the wrong way, it's when people say to you, you know, when you get like this, I don't really know what to do with you, because the ball has gone past normal. The planet has gone past normal. So Venus, our planet around relationships and connections and possessions and desire, and she's in the sign of Gemini, so she's very flirty and fun and having a good time. And she also is very much about the connection, the integration of the connection, because she's ruling the North Node of Libra. And because Mars is in Taurus and he answers to Venus, and then she answers to Gemini, and then Mercury answers to Venus. Mars, ruling the South Node, also is answering to that out-of-bounds Venus in Gemini. So things can really swing this week because both the nodes are out-of-bounds, ruled by out-of-bounds Venus. Now, of course, Venus in Gemini presents us with options, asks us to make choices, asks us to make decisions, and you're going to find this week really flies. And at the back end of the week, when the moon goes into Libra, that's going to be answering to an out-of-bounds Venus, too. So we have a very big week of out-of-bounds energy. In addition to that, we have a big old finger of God in the sky, and fingers of God make us make fated choices, F-A-T-E-D. We get choices, we get to pick. our direction in life, what we want to do, where we're going to go. And the apex of the finger of God is Jupiter, the planet of abundance, who is expanding your Leo house. We've talked about this before. Wherever your Leo house is in your chart is where your chart wants to shine, where it finds its most happiness expressing itself. So Leo, in my case, co-rules my sixth house and it rules my seventh. So I love to work. Going to a conference all weekend is like play for me. Working is play for me, always has been. And then it rules my seventh house. I work with people one-on-one, right? And I work with the public. I work with others. The other is always, and of course I'm a Virgo. Virgo's like the sixth house. My sun rules the sixth. So you watch where you watch the Leo house. That area wants to expand. And right now it's facing fated, F-A-T-E-D choices around how to proceed. The finger of God aspects Vesta, where it finds its home in the hearth, where it finds its family, what makes it feel nurtured, and Pluto, who is going retrograde and separating slowly from Uranus. So the two of them are asking you, how do you want to renovate your home, your body, your office? And for a lot of people, this is actually showing up as a diet or some kind of health issue or some kind of health maintenance, you know, where they're getting on the health kick. They're saying, okay, I'm going to make more green juices, or I'm going to eat more salads, I'm going to do, you know, get rid of, got one client giving up drinking, you know, she's just decided she's done drinking. And it's made a big difference. So the Jupiter aspect, which is the abundance energy, it's where we want to be abundant. Now, of course, Jupiter wants to expand whatever he touches. So this finger of God can really be very productive in getting things done. But remember, Jupiter is answering to Taurus Sun, ruled by Venus in Gemini, out of bounds. So you can do this a couple times. You can make a couple false starts. You can make a couple good starts, and things don't quite track. That's totally okay. Don't fail, give up, quit, because it doesn't work. Doubled energy in the sky. You have to do everything twice. It's not a straight shot. And you have to do it once, and then you have to do it again. And that's okay. That's Gemini. We always know with the Gemini, it's not personal. It's just a do-over. And so your job is to go, okay, do-over energy. And the Sun in Taurus, which rules those Leo houses, wants us to plant good seeds, okay? Taurus is about the garden time. It's when everything really gets pollinated. This is when all the birds and the bees are running around and fertilizing the cherry blossoms and the apple blossoms, and all New York is full of blossoming flower trees, which you never realize there's all these cherry trees and stuff around until you hit this part of spring and everything's a bloom and pretty, all full of flowers. So the daffodils, the tulips, all that stuff, that's Taurus. Taurus is fixed, waiting for the bee to come and fertilize it. So your job this week is to fertilize your stuff. We have a couple of excellent, excellent aspects. The moon on Monday is out of bounds, which is okay. It goes void at 10:12 in the morning, and it's out of bounds until 9 o'clock at night. And then it goes into Virgo. Okay, now the moon is out of bounds with a square to Mercury, which says sometimes people may be a little short-tempered or there might be some news that's a little harsh. And certainly, you know, in attending this dying conference this weekend, you know, it was very interesting listening to different people talk because there were all different kinds of people there. There were care providers. There were people that had recently lost somebody. There were people that had near-death experiences. There were people like me who was just an astrologer, you know, because I'll read people when they're going through difficult times with a family member or something. And it's always helpful to learn things about that process. Because, of course, Pluto, everybody's got Pluto somewhere in your chart. And we all have to go through Pluto at some point. So on Monday, the moon goes into Virgo at 9:07 at night, and it's in Virgo on Tuesday and Wednesday. And all day Thursday morning, it goes void at 8:23 with a trine to Mercury. So the moon in Virgo, Tuesday and Wednesday, incredibly productive. And, of course, the Mercury is answering to moon in Virgo answers to Mercury, answers to Venus. And that brings us back to Mercury again. So it's a very, very fertile Mercury in Taurus-ruled Venus moon. Or Mercury, said that wrong. Mercury in Taurus-ruled Virgo moon means it gets good stuff planted. And, of course, we're building to the new moon. This is one of the big planting days in the month. If you're, you know, a farmer or a gardener, excellent days to plant are these next couple days, because the plants, the Virgo wants everything to grow. Then we go into the Libra moon, which happens at 10:03 in the morning on Thursday, and it's in Libra on Thursday and Friday, and it goes void at 10 in the morning on Saturday. And it is void all day Saturday, but it goes void with a trine to Venus. So moon in Libra trines Venus in Gemini. Very productive, cooperative, collaborative energy Thursday, Friday. And even though the moon is void on Saturday, all day Saturday too. Then the moon goes into Scorpio on the 2nd at 9:47 at night on Saturday the 2nd. And it's in Scorpio on the 3rd. And it goes void at 9:49 with an opposition, which is a separating aspect, moon opposite Mars. So the separation is on Sunday and Monday. Now there is a full moon on Saturday the 3rd at 13 Scorpio, which brings us back to the fall, October, actually November, I guess, of 2013. Go back 2 years to when the new moon was in Scorpio. And then go forward to last August, when the moon was in Scorpio opening square, and now we are here with the full moon in Scorpio. And then we have a closing moon in 9 months. Our job with, or yeah, that's right, 9 months from now, which will be Aquarius time of 2016. So our job with Scorpio full moons, or any moon in Scorpio, is to know it wants to let things go. It's really interested in releasing and not holding on to stuff. Scorpio moons are considered a hard moon for a few reasons. One, it's November. That's the time frame for it. Everything dies. So Scorpio moons are about infections and losing things. And one of my students, who's an excellent astrologer, was telling a story about her dad. And he had surgery scheduled for a Scorpio moon, and her mother was being cooperative because, you know, the mothers are cooperative with doctors, and she pitched a fit and absolutely refused to have her father have his valves replaced, or his pipes replaced, it was pipes replaced, on that day because the moon was in Scorpio. And it's the worst, you know, if you're electing a surgery, if you have to have one, you have to have one. But if you're electing a surgery, you don't elect it on a Scorpio moon. So she explained it to the nurse, and they moved the schedule, and so the doctor reported later that he was all butterfingers that day. So the nurse called back and said, he'd like to know those other days that the moon's going to be in Scorpio. So she gave him all the Scorpio moon days, so I guess he's conducting a little experiment to see if he's butterfingers on those other Scorpio moon days. But watch the Scorpio moon on Sunday, because it is an ending separating moon. And a lot of what we're doing now, because Uranus and Pluto square have taken place, and they're done now for 30 years, we're putting the stuff in place. We're putting our dreams in place for the next big chapter. So, hi, Remo. Come here. I know. I've been gone all weekend. Cats miss me when I'm away. I work at home, you know, and they really get used to hanging out with me all day long. I never realize it until I go away for a couple of days, and then suddenly I'm the cat's meow. No offense to Remo meowing at me. So we're going to watch this week. So the week has got incredibly productive aspects, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Get a lot of stuff done, even Saturday, even though the moon's void. Sunday, Monday, be a little more cautious. And Monday, next Monday, the 27th, the moon is void all day too. Now, these all-day long void moons are because Saturn's in early Sagittarius. When he zips back into Scorpio in the summer, we won't have the long void moons. But right now we are having them, which is about giving yourself extra time to take to vision what you want to have come in. Okay? And again, we're still working with that Neptune-Saturn square, which is inviting us to come up with a dream. And then when we get to the fall, when Jupiter's in Virgo, forming a big T-square of action and adventure, wanting to ground and create, wanting to be meticulous about the plans, we're going to build it. All right. So this week, it's the planning stage. And it's the editing stage. Virgo is about editing. It's about releasing and editing and saying, yep, that's done. I think I'm finished with that. Or following the rules, you're going to find you're incredibly productive this week on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday because the moon is super busy, great closing aspects, and the planets are actually getting along in the heavens. You are going to have some fated choices, but they're good, you know, by and large good. I would like to ask you to continue to pray for my sister Mary and for Raymond, who has been released from the hospital and is home recovering, and his lovely wife Jane. So please continue to keep these folks in your prayers. That prayer stuff really works. You should have heard all the near-death stuff going on at the conference and people talking about asking for signs and getting them and butterflies flying and birds flying in the house and that we're all connected. We're all one big source. So I totally appreciate energy heading towards my beloved Raymond and Jane and my dear little baby sister. Also, on a technical note, I'm going to be teaching at the Venus Star Point in Santa Fe. It is up on sophiavenus.com. It's through Ariel Gutman, a different, not my name, but I'll be putting a link up on my site. But you can register there, Guttman, Ariel, Ariel, like the mermaid. And that'll be in Santa Fe that first weekend in August. And then I'm also teaching in the Asilomar. All these places that have interesting spellings, Asilomar. I'll be teaching in Asilomar in the fall in October, which is out in California, and it's beautiful. And I'll be teaching a course on aspects. So we'll be working in depth. You know, a lot of times people don't know how to pull those aspects apart and really work with them. So it'll be a 12-hour intensive with me, and then you'll be getting wisdom and great guidance from others. And I also have an OPA online speech coming up, a webinar, which I believe is June 7th. It's a Sunday. Yeah, it's June 7th, and I will give you more information on that. But you can definitely sign up for the webinar. We're trying to become technological here at Ann Orley's Astrology Practice. Working on it, not quite there. All right, so we did the moons. So now let's talk about the rest of the week. This week, the sun goes from 7 Taurus to 12 Taurus. And it does have a choice on the 30th about how it wants to proceed after having some kind of disillusionment on the 29th. So the sun sextiles Neptune, meaning it sees things clearly that it hadn't seen before. And then it says, okay, that's done. And now I have to pick a new direction, which it does on the 30th. And Sun is in Taurus. Nodes are in Libra, forming an inconjunct. So this is a choice. When you think about it, it often is a choice about, well, you know you really want to do that, but you actually have to partner in this way. And I do encourage you to pick the area that's about love. Whichever has more love is this direction to head. And it will be a hard choice. On the 30th, we have the Sun square Juno, asking us to redefine how we partner with people and what kind of partnership energy we use. Mercury, very busy this week, goes from 24 Taurus to 3 Gemini. And Mercury goes out of bounds on May 1st. He's out of bounds through May 19th. Mercury in Gemini gives a way over the top kind of energy to everything, particularly communications. Our Gemini friends are all going to be feeling it. We're all going to be feeling a little out of bounds because this is what the great thing about planetary transits are. You go, wow, you have a Venus-Saturn aspect. That must really be hard. And then there's a Venus-Saturn aspect in the sky, and everybody gets to have one just for a moment, not live with it, but just a temporary little time of that energy. So this month, we get to experience out-of-bounds personal planets. We all get to have an out-of-bounds Venus until June. We get an out-of-bounds Mercury until May 19th, from May 1st to May 19th. And then in June, through the middle of July, we get an out-of-bounds Mars in Gemini. Okay, so it's a lot of craziness, but it's also fun. So Gemini is light, happy, perky, connected, related, and choice-filled. You're going to be presented with choices. Got to decide which ones you want to take. Big whoosh week. You think last week was fast? Just wait till the month of May, man. You have not seen anything till you see how fast May flies. I just don't understand how it even got to be May. I'm just like, how did that happen? All right, so, or anyway, Mercury is in Taurus, goes into Gemini. He transitions into Gemini on April 30th. He does aspect the nodes of destiny on the 27th. And he also is an Admetos, which is an ending energy, on April 29th, which means he marks a conclusion. He's also traveling through the algal section of the sky. I know, I hear you. Come here, I'll play with you in a minute. Come here. He's traveling through the algal section, so you can have somebody lose their head the beginning part of the week when Mercury runs across algal, because, you know, he's answering to Venus out of bounds, right? So Venus is in Gemini, talking to Mercury in Taurus. So we're going to hear some beheading stories, which are never particularly easy. But we also are going to be working with algol, which is a pretty big star. And she's Medusa's eye, and she often happens when we have large piles of corpses. So I imagine the numbers out of Nepal will continue to grow, because she often is active at times when there are large things. And there were a bunch of volcanoes that erupted all around the world, which, of course, is the Vulcanus activity. There's a lot of contraparallels right now with Vulcanus. We also have a very large ongoing trine with Jupiter to Uranus. Now, that's kind of running in the background. So I want you to take advantage of it, because we're going to be faced more with the stuff that's in front of us, because that's, of course, how the world works. But behind the scenes, there's this lovely grand trine in fire that is asking us, inspiring us, encouraging us to move forward. Both Jupiter and Uranus are moving forward in a collaborative, connected way. And they are really interested in working with you. And later this week, when Mercury, or when the moon forms goes into Libra, it's going to aspect them and positively and incur it with sextile and a trine, and or sextile and an opposition, rather. And so we want to watch this week, you know, and over this next few months, while Jupiter is playing in this trine energy to Uranus, you really want to plant stuff. You really want to get working and break free of the old stuff. You don't have to get rid of it. You just have to turn away from it and just go towards the new, and you'll find that it kind of leaves you. I was reading an article on my Sky and Telescope horoscope, you know, my Sky and Telescope magazine the other day, and they were talking about Jules Verne having written a book in 1865 about a launch to the moon, and how interesting it was, and it actually, he must have channeled stuff. He matched very much what happened when NASA went to the moon. And so that Jupiter-Uranus, that vision of how to fly, that vision of the dream you want to pursue, you're going to build it this fall, but really get the vision in place. Just kind of spend some quiet time this week in between the crazy, between the running around, and just kind of think long term. What's your vision? What's your dream? And some people write to me, you know, I don't have the dream. I don't know what the dream is. And there's a kind of meditation you can do that's quiet, where you turn in and you just do, what is this moment and where is the gratitude, right? Kind of focus on what you're grateful for, because that's usually the growth point. And I think that helps. If you think about what you're really grateful for, what you really love. And all this weekend I kept hearing different people say, well, you know, I was doing this and then all of a sudden this became my life. I was doing that and then all of a sudden this got me to here. So watch for the invitations this week, because the grand trine in Jupiter to Uranus can be an unusual invitation that invites you to try something new, that invites you to try a new approach, that invites you to say, yeah, you know, that might be interesting to do. I could do that. That could be fun. What would that look like, right? So Mercury enters Gemini after he has his final ending on April 29th, and he also has a sesquiquadrate to Pluto on May 1st, which is a little bit of a stressful energy. And then he's in a bit of an argument with Uranus and Saturn on the 3rd of May. The 3rd of May is going to be hard. Okay, that's next Sunday. And so I always hate it when aspects like this happen. At any rate, it's 2 to 3, and it makes people stressed, and it makes people a little crazy. And you just have to honor that that's what's going to be going on. And Mercury is setting those energies off, right? Venus goes from 20 Gemini to, turn the page, 20 Gemini. Nope, she's on all on that one page. 20 Gemini to 25 Gemini. So she's going pretty good speed, about a clip a day, a degree a day. She has a square to Chiron on the 29th, which is encouraging her to try new things. She has a sesquiquadrate to Ceres. So there's an energy around how you take care of yourself and what you nurture and what you grow. Remember, what you plant, what you nurture, what you pay attention to, that continues to grow. If you don't want it to grow, don't water it, right? And if you water it, it'll grow. So just kind of pay attention to where your thoughts are focusing. And if you find yourself, because there is all this Gemini flying around, being a little obsessive, sing. Play the piano. Do some kind of art. Connect in with your soul. We had a lecture this weekend from Thomas More, you know, the Care of the Soul, and soul. You know, he's written a few other books. 20 books, actually. He's written 20 books. Good Libra that he is. And he was talking about soul as the grotto, as the kefir, the descending into the underworld, the solidness that supports. Whereas spirit, which is the spiraling up and the connecting, and it's why steeples descend into nothing, because they carry you higher and they take you up in the air. And that's spirit, but soul is on earth, and soul is a good food. Soul is music. Soul is dance. Soul is sex. Soul is the physical pleasures of the body that sustain and nourish, you know. And he's talking about it, and everything he's saying, I'm thinking, soul is the moon. Soul is the moon. So go to your moon, hang out with your moon, do what your moon likes, and feed your moon. And if you feed your moon, you're feeding your soul. And he, you know, in this conference, they were talking, you know, this one woman, this guy wanted banana nut bread, you know, and he's on his deathbed, and she went home and made him banana nut bread, and he took one bite, and he said, that is the best banana bread I've ever had, and he died like an hour or two later. Honor the soul in your chart. Honor the call. What's calling you? What's inviting you? Because the soul is very strong right now with all these planets in Taurus. You know, Taurus in May, you know, the lusty month of May, the song from Camelot. Taurus is a physical sign. And our job when the sun is in Taurus, which it's in for 30 days, is to really experience our physicality and to understand how important it is to us. And our little bodies, these little carriers of our soul that go eventually die, but our soul goes on. And, of course, in a reincarnated chart, we call the moon back in. The moon, you know, the moon is the memory of the previous incarnations. So it's where the soul lives. So feed your moon to connect to your soul and to connect to your dream, because that has to be, your moon has to be nurtured on some level to be able to give you the stability to build your dream. Mars, going from 19 Taurus to 24 Taurus, has a sextile to Chiron and is very active. And he also has an argument with Eris, the goddess of discord, on the 2nd. I tell you, the weekend's going to have a big fight, isn't it? So just be aware. And, of course, Mars next week hits Elgol, not this week, but next week. But Mercury hits it this week, so we're going to watch for that. Pluto has a sextile to Vesta, which encourages us. That's one of the legs of the finger, the legs of the fingers of God completing on May 1st. Those two guys kind of culminate. And then we also have a big health aspect on May 2nd, so no fooling around with health stuff. Excellent partnership activity on the 28th and the 29th. And very possibly, a deal struck on May 1st. So forward we go, and we're going to have a great week. Going to be busy, going to be fast, going to be speedy, got out-of-bounds planets. Things can swing in a heartbeat. But it's really very profound. So enjoy your week. Have a great time. And this is Ann Ortley signing off. And I'm going to go play with Remo. Have a great Sunday, folks. Bye-bye.